Today, on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Deadpool. Welcome back, I'm your host Chris Bashan, and like I said, we're going to be discussing the character, the creation of Deadpool. It's been a while since we've talked about a specific comic book property. I think the last one we did was, we spent a lot of episodes on Batman, and we've talked Green Lantern. I don't think we've hit any other comic book properties aside from those two, so...
Green Lantern.
This should be pretty interesting. As is typical for my podcast, I brought on a group of experts who feel they can speak with some authority on this given topic. My first expert here with me is a newcomer to the show, and his name is...
Alex Goodman.
Welcome, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Alex, since we've never had you on the show before, what type of nerd are you?
I'm mostly a comic book nerd, but I haven't really bought anything since college, which makes me sad. But I keep up with it on Wikipedia and every internet website that talks about comics, so I like them.
Okay.
Video games, I really, really love movies. Like the Marvel movies that are coming out now is just my jam.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, yes.
We'll probably do a podcast on that. So.
One?
Just one. Cool. What is one of your, like... You mentioned gaming. What's one of your favorite video games of all time?
Oh, man, I was a sucker for Kingdom Hearts. That was one of my favorite games. The second one. The first one was great, but okay. I really liked the second one, even though it got a bit convoluted. The fighting was just fun.
Aren't they doing a remake on that?
They did a remake. They did a 1.5 on both 1 and 2, and then they're coming out with 3 for PlayStation 4 this year? Next year? I don't remember.
And is Deadpool your favorite comic?
I think he's my favorite comic book character.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, hold on to your thoughts and feelings. We will discuss more about this in just a moment. Right. My next expert has been on before, and his name is...
Matthew Amador.
Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks. Great to be back.
Yay! Well, you're kind of one of the main reasons I'm doing this. Because I think for maybe a good... I'm going to just exaggerate. Maybe a solid, like, year, you were like, are you going to do Deadpool? I think you should do Deadpool.
Okay, so if fan is actually a shortened form of fanatic, that completely accurately describes me.
Awesome. You've definitely texted me enough weird pictures of Deadpool doing strange things.
I'm pretty sure I sent you an animated GIF of, like, you know, Deadpool and someone at a con dressed as Deadpool. I'm pretty sure I did that, like, this weekend.
Yeah, and I think at one of my auditions you, like, stopped me and then, like, actually, like, showed me the trailer for the movie when I was supposed to be auditioning.
Actually supposed to be doing, like, your job? Yeah, I probably did that. I've dressed as Deadpool for Halloween. Like, I built my own costume. I am a very...
You
very
built that yourself?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I totally did. I got, like, one of those full body... suits that you, I don't know, supposedly you wear if you're going to go to a sporting event.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why you would do that. That's what they say on the bag. Is if you're going to a sporting event. And yeah, I painted the whole thing and I just got it all together.
Awesome.
All right, a couple questions then. Obviously, you're a huge Deadpool fan.
Yes.
Who is your second favorite comic book character?
Ooh, second favorite? See, it's gonna be just one of the popular ones. Like, I really love Wolverine.
Okay.
I really love Magneto.
Okay.
I like they can make him kind of tortured, and I like the complicated ones, as uncomplicated as Deadpool kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the complicated ones a lot too.
Just to tailor it then a little bit more, which Magneto do you prefer, Ian McKellen or Michael Fassbender?
Oh. You know what? Honestly, Fassbender.
He's great.
I do. I like Fassbender. It's one of when you have like an X-Men film franchise podcast, we'll talk about it. But yes.
Talk about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Well, hold on to your thoughts. We will get to them very shortly. My next expert has also been on before, and his name is
DJ Fink.
Welcome back, DJ.
Thank you very much, Chris.
So I think you were on the Batman podcast, weren't you?
I've been on a Batman podcast. There was one that we did, Arrow, the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've done a couple.
Okay. So you're a comic book guy. Is Deadpool your favorite comic?
Not my favorite. I think maybe my favorite to read for just pure entertainment value. Cool. Just the goofiness and the how unseriously it takes so many things that are taken seriously by so many fans. That's what I love.
Okay. What other type of nerd are you? Well, I think we know you're a gamer.
Gamer, okay. Comic books, the comic movies, not as much into like deep like fantasy stuff, more action adventure type things.
Surprise question for you. Have you seen the Batman vs. Superman trailer?
I have.
Impressions. Just got impressions.
I think I peed myself a little bit when I saw it. It was pretty exciting.
Okay. That's all I want to know. Yeah. You're the one who gets to answer that
With question. That, you're staring at the wet spot of my pants. That's why I peed a little bit for it. So.
Cool, sir. Hold on to your thoughts and feelings. We will jump into the discussion shortly. My last expert was recently on, but he's back again, and his name is...
Rob Shoemate.
Welcome back, Rob.
Hey, thank you.
So I know this does not make amends for missing Green Lantern.
Hey, you know, I'm over it. No, I'm not.
You're not over it. You're not over it. Maybe we'll do a Green Lantern Redux one day.
The new 52 Green Lantern?
So, questions to you. Green Lantern's your favorite, right?
Yeah, Green Lantern. Yeah.
Who's your second favorite?
Flash.
Is Deadpool in the top five?
Deadpool's in the top 10. Okay. Like, same with EJ. He's it's one to just read for fun. I mean... I haven't read anything by him in a long time. That's just it. I got the first series when it came out, so I have like the first probably 12 issues. But got the first appearance of him in X Factor, all that fun stuff. Not X Factor, X. What was it? Gen X.
New Mutants.
That's what it was. Yeah. But aside from that, I haven't like he was saying that there was the new series just ended like last month. I didn't read. Mm-hmm. Played the video game.
Oh,
it's fun.
Surprise question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see the Star Wars trailer?
I did.
Gut reaction to that.
That's a Star Destroyer.
All right, great. That's all I
need. He peed my pants a little bit. Yeah. So.
He peed your pants a
little
bit.
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit.
That's what you asked.
We're sitting
nicely.
Close. I mean,
you
it happened.
Did ask nicely, but.
Well, we are here to talk about the comic book property and character of Deadpool. I will be your outcast for this show because I don't really know much about Deadpool. I'm not actually a big comic book guy. I've kind of come into comic books more through film. And definitely this is like the renaissance of good comic book like adaptations of movie adaptations of comic books. So here's how I want to start this discussion. I'm going to throw two questions out there. And whoever wants to run with it. My two questions are, first off, what is the behind-the-scenes story of Deadpool? Like, when and who created this character? And then within the universe of Marvel, what is the character's creation history?
Liefeld created him, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liefeld and Fabian...
Yes.
Thank you for pronouncing that for me.
I'm not sure if that's actually how you pronounce it, okay. But I'm gonna run with that.
Yeah. I wrote it down, but I was like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld was in this phase. He's kind of known for making characters that...
Look like other characters?
That's one thing, and also have like a whole bunch, I don't know if I can swear, a whole bunch of crap on them. Like, they have a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Cable has, like, for instance, robot arm, bunch of packs, bunch of straps, bunch of guns, shiny eyes, silver, like, there's a lot going on with him. Mm-hmm. So when he was drawing, like, Deadpool, well, who would call Deadpool, it's, you know, strap, gun, katana, grenade, like, all this stuff that was on him. And, yeah, the behind the scenes is when he kind of sketched him out and showed him to Fabian, my best buddy Fabian. I'm just gonna use the first name. He was like, "This looks just like Deathstroke."
I was gonna say, I've seen a lot of every time I see Deadpool, I almost accidentally call him Deathstroke, and vice versa, because they both have that mask. That's
like
a two-tone.
And that's the play on the character's, you know, alter ego of Wade Wilson.
It's Slade Wilson.
He's Wade Wilson. So it's.
So he's supposed to be kind of off on Deathstroke?
Well, I think they're just kind of like... Okay, so
it's
Deadpool...
kind of hard to start.
Yeah, one of Deadpool's things is he just is aware that he's in a comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of like he satirizes the genre.
He didn't in New Mutants.
He didn't start out that way, but eventually he became that.
It was when he got his own comic.
So when they got... So kind of calling him Wade Wilson as opposed to Slade Wilson kind of makes it like... it's kind of the start of the satirization of that he's known for. Or mm-hmm. if you know the Dark Tower series, it's his twin of. That's kind of like his likeness to just another reality.
When was the character created? Are we talking about the 70s?
Late 90s.
Well, actually, 90s. New Mutants number 98 was 1991.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
So oh, maybe it was early 90s, yeah. Maybe I'm just too old.
His first official series that was just him was 97.
Yeah.
I have this written down somewhere. Somewhere I have my notes. Mm-hmm. Who's the artist? What's it? Or
Rob Liefeld.
Liefeld? He created Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is he known for? And obviously, I know who Cable is. Is he known for any other?
What was his young? What was the one when he went out to Image that looked exactly like Cable? Yeah.
He's known for if you've ever
seen. He's a horrible artist, actually. Mm-hmm.
It's lots of very strong cheekbones.
And proportions are always wrong. So like this one guy will have like a bicep that's like 3 feet long, and it's
huge.
I always liked this Spider-Man though.
That's what I thought Deadpool looked like when I first saw him.
Yeah. When I dressed up as Deadpool for Halloween, everyone confused me with Spider-Man, which mm-hmm. I thought was funny because in the books.
People
call him Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's success.
Yeah.
Now, so that's a little bit behind the history. What is, like, within the world, was he a villain when he was first introduced?
Yeah.
Technically
a
villain.
Yes. Well, mercenary.
He's a mercenary. And that's kind of carried through. He's mm-hmm. been, like, you know, he's morally ambiguous, mm-hmm. even on like, his best day. Mm-hmm.
The comics have turned him into the anti-hero, but he's still always got that. The best way to put it is one of the things he says is when there's a team up with him and Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's like, "You're gonna kill somebody." He goes, "Well, if you don't like the word, we can undead him or unalive him, unalive him."
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a problem with killing. He's whacked out to begin with.
That's right. He's insane.
He is insane. Mm-hmm.
Wade Wilson is literally insane. Okay.
He did try to legitimately become a hero for a little bit in the comics. I think it was in the Marvel did the new or the Heroic Age or whatever it was.
Well, the first Deadpool series because he's in love with Siren.
Exactly.
He tries to become a good guy. Yeah. I quoted in the air. If you guys can't see that.
We could hear it though.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone could hear the quote.
The suck. Everybody could hear the suck.
Yeah, he was crushing on Siren, who's mm-hmm. Banshee's daughter. No. And he's a hero, but at the same time, he's kind of stalking her.
Yeah,
hardcore.
Yeah,
he's kind of a creep.
He's a creep.
You mentioned he's insane. Did something make him go?
Well, it depends on which version that's been retold and
which
retold.
Yes,
because his background is one of the running jokes of all the Deadpool series. It was everything from he was a Weapon X.
That's what
program
I mean.
Guy yeah. gone awry. He was always a little insane, but the treatments made him even further insane. Mm-hmm. Other versions of it are he was just, you know, a whack job to begin with, mm-hmm. and then he's just continued to be a whack. I mean, there's no consistent story in the comics. Continue to play with that idea, mm-hmm. just as much as they play with the dialogue in his head and the other things that go on that are great parts of the character. It's kind of like. An anti-hero version of the Joker, where there's always a continuous change to what's going on.
Yeah,
and he actually acknowledges that it's different. There's been comics where he's like, you know, depending on who's writing me, that's my backstory.
Which is another part of the awesome part about Deadpool is he does realize he's a fictional character. He breaks the fourth wall all the time.
Did it start as that? Did he start?
Because I don't remember in the first Deadpool series him knowing he was a comic book character.
I think it was...
it's kind of developed over time.
Yeah. I think it was with the... with Daniel Way. Was that when it started?
With that writer?
Yeah. In 2008, I think is when the...
Oh, wow. That recently.
Released.
Yeah,
it may have been earlier.
Before that one, I can't say... I don't know when he first started, like, breaking the fourth wall. But he breaks the fourth wall
all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were any of you reading comics when he was introduced, like mm-hmm. at the time?
Yes.
Not 91, because I was a child.
I was younger.
Let's start with you. Did you start reading him in 91?
When he got his own series in what was it, 90? You said 97?
97.
I've got the first 12 issues. I know I do at home.
I picked up those too.
Yeah.
Who were you following at the time?
New Mutants. I was reading the New Mutants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember like reading anything specific about reading him at the time that kind of grabbed you?
He looked like Spider-Man. That's like Spider-Man? Exactly the first thing that went through my head. It's like, this guy looks just like Spider-Man.
Was he interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, he even reminded me of Spider-Man in the way he, you know, cracked jokes. He was like, yeah. I enjoyed him. I thought he was a ripoff, 100%.
Yeah.
And then when he got his own, I was like, you know what, I'll pick up the first issue, whatever, and really enjoyed it. And then kept reading, and then that's when I, like, right about a year after that is when I stopped collecting comics.
Okay. DJ, you were also reading
comics? I was reading comics. So 91 was right around the time I went into high school, because I'm old. And I remember New Mutants. I remember, you know, not really having learned a lot about it, but it was a new number one. It was an X book, so, you know, you had to go out and pick it up. And he was kind of like a background character, and then he'd do something flashy, and then he would disappear for a little bit. But he kind of stuck with you because you didn't know enough about him, but he looked cool. And just from there, he was just another one of those guys that you'd see, and you found yourself laughing about stuff that he would do or get into, and his the stuff that was written for him.
Matt, were you reading comics in 91?
91 I was not. 97 I was.
Okay.
And what really appealed to me was, it was a time when the X-Books had no humor. I mean, we're talking Extinction Agenda, we're talking Age of Apocalypse, we're talking everything was...
What are the X-Books? I'm sorry.
So X-Men, X-Force, Generation X had just started, like all the X-Men books, all the comic books that were out.
Take a word, slap an X in front of it, and sell a few books.
Yeah.
A huge franchise.
Yeah, and they were all very... They took themselves very seriously, and this was one that did not. I was never into Spider-Man, who still had humor and whatnot, although I think around that time is when he...
I think their answer to DC's answer to him was Lobo, maybe, or was...
Lobo was Wolverine, I thought. Oh,
yeah.
for the humor, you mean?
Yeah, for the humor. Oh, it's like, yeah. It's like DC's version of Deadpool was Lobo, because he was just... It was
and
funny,
then
yeah.
And for pure humor in DC, right. At that time you had Mark Waid was writing Impulse, which was one of the funniest books I've ever read in my entire life.
Thought bubbles.
Yeah, they did an Impulse book that no dialogue. It was just what was going through Bart's head during the day. I've never laughed louder reading a comic book in my entire life.
So, Rob, you already kind of touched on it, and I'll throw this out there now. Was there a response from DC about...
I'd have to look at the dates. Yeah, I don't know when Lobo came out, but I know it feels like it was around that time.
And he feels kind of similar to Deadpool?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's an alien... But he can regenerate. He
has lots of weapons.
Yeah, lots of weapons. Has the smartass remarks.
I feel like he was a little bit darker, though.
Go back and read it again.
Maybe I haven't.
I mean, it's dark in the fact that he cuts people's limbs off to keep them from running away. But yeah,
and then visually, they already had Deathstroke. So I mean, they had like
Deathstroke had been around for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'd been established. Yeah. So they already had that.
As somebody who doesn't read comics, DJ, you mentioned like you kind of saw this character pop up in the background, and he would come back from time to time. As an outsider who doesn't read comic books, it seems like there's just so much to comic books. Like, I can see why people would get into them. Is it hard to keep track of it all?
It can be.
And like, how do you? Do you ever feel like, oh, they made a story about that guy? That guy was just like in two panels. That's so...
You know, you got to keep in mind that prior to really the internet being in everyone's house and everyone's phone, if you wanted to go back and catch up on stuff going on in comics, you were either going to the comic book store and flipping through the boxes for old comics, you were collecting trade paperbacks, or you were going out and getting, you know, the Marvel Universe Encyclopedia, which they would update every couple of years, and it was just this bio page that was written like a Wikipedia page of here's what the comic book character's done, here's their powers, they'd have a little scale and a chart for how strong they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those were the kind of things you'd have to read. So every, you know, couple of years there would be an updated one, update 4, and then it would have characters that you hadn't seen. But you'd go through, and sometimes that was the only thing you'd have for, you know, what's the reference on this guy? What's the background on this guy? So you go and you read it, and you get one panel, just a, you know, a silhouette of what the guy looks like, and you'd go, okay, that guy looks cool, I want to know more about him. I learned a ton about characters that way, and you know, now there's an entire Wikipedia database just for individual characters, let alone continuities.
Yeah. So here's a question as as people who read comic books, given the pre-internet day, I'll try and relate this to something I dealt with. When I was a kid, I watched a lot of Thundercats, and sometimes they would not show them in order. And sometimes I would miss plot lines in episodes because they would just randomly start jumping around. So being a comic book collector, when you went to the store and got part one of a three-part series and then went back the next week and they'd never got part two or three, like, how did you...
I had a comic box, so yeah. I didn't miss comics. Every week I went out and picked... They would save the comics that came in. They would pull them before they would put them on the stands and put them in a box for you to hold on to. You had to pick up your box every month or you wouldn't, you know, or they would stop.
They wouldn't do it for you. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
And they still do that. Like, places still do that to this day.
They'll pull them for you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Subscribe.
Cool.
I mean, that was the other option, is you'd have a lot of guys that would subscribe through the mail.
And they'd
write a check. I actually did it recently with the new Scott Snyder Batman series that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wanted to say, I'm an adult, but I'm still getting my comics delivered in the mail. And I still pay for them to have them digitally and all of that, but I wanted to have just that experience of saying, I got my comics in the mail.
Do you know why I've never done that? Is because I'm afraid it won't be mint condition when it gets there.
See, I collect comics for the entertainment value.
Yeah.
Wizard, back in the day, when you'd look up, well, what was my comic worth? I could care less what it was worth. I just wanted to know. That was my checklist. Here's what I've got. Here's what I'm missing. Here's what I want to know. You know, and things like that back in the day, back before you could just read a character's Wikipedia page, you know, you just had to find out. And if you really wanted to find out, most comic book places would let you go in and stand there and browse through the racks. Yeah. And so long as it wasn't a brand new mint condition one that was usually pinned up on the wall somewhere, you could open a comic and flip through it. And they were pretty tolerant of people, you know, kind of thumbing through everything. And you would just pick it up. And if you wanted to really figure out a character, maybe you'd go back and find a particular story arc. Or if you wanted to jump into something, maybe it wasn't issue one, but you'd pick up... volume one of a new arc that was going. I mean, it's the same way that people learn about comic characters now. It's you just have to find a point that you're comfortable with and jump in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to diverge on the history of collect. That's really interesting, though. Just as somebody who doesn't really collect comic books, or is my last question about comic books, and then we'll bring it back to Deadpool. I promise my listeners. Are any of you collectors? Like, would any of you call yourself collectors?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I am. I do it in the 2015 version.
Well, I guess I do that, yeah, because I've got Walking Dead all digitally.
Yeah,
I have everything digitally, but I don't have hard copies like I used to.
Do you prefer digital or hard copy?
Digital, just because it's easier to read on the train.
Agreed. Yeah.
I like the books. Like, I would go out and buy the trade paperbacks of, like, an arc. If I don't collect the comics anymore, but if there's a story that I really like, I'll just go out and buy it once it's in a complete collection.
It's just so much easier to push a button and they have got it.
But you can do both. I mean, that's what I've found myself doing, is I've got a couple of comics that I subscribe to every week digitally, and I download them on my iPad or my computer or even on my phone if I'm desperate for, like, some place to look at it as soon as I find out that it came out. But then storylines that I really enjoyed it, I'll go and buy the trade paperback after the fact. Mm-hmm. So I can have that, and then I've got my copy, you know, in case the world ever collapses upon us, I can sit in my dark little cave with my gun and read my Batman.
If there's ever a zombie apocalypse,
exactly.
I can sit around and read The Walking Dead.
Exactly, for research.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a huge fan of getting them digitally as well, because I remember when I was collecting Generation X when it first came out, it was, I don't know if this is true, but it was touted to be the first comic book that had been put online. They pretty much, honestly, what they did is they scanned every page. I don't think it was the best quality, but they scanned every page, put it up there, and me with my 14.4 modem took like a whole day to like kind of read like, you know, half the book.
Hey, 14.4 was fast back then.
It was
day.
Great, yeah. Buddy. Me and my CompuServe. Remembering back then, I like that I can see, oh, look how far it's come. Look how far it's come. Yeah.
Am I the only one who doesn't like digital?
If you had asked me this 3 years ago, I would have argued with you that I love the feel of a book in my hands. Yeah. I started using the train a lot.
Yeah. Well, I only have my phone, and I hate reading it because I have to put it right up to my phone.
I think what changed about the digital part, too, is when they got to the kind of frame-by-frame sequence.
Yes.
So you're not just looking at a page taking up your entire phone. You can click on a panel, and it will zoom to that. And then you can swipe. You can swipe between individual panels to really get that full-on close-up.
There's a guided view.
Right. Even on the bigger, like on the iPads and on the Kindles, you just tap the screen and it goes to panel.
And it'll kind of guide you through where the bubbles go to. So
yeah.
You learned something new.
Yeah. Nice.
Right.
Does it go backwards for manga?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's bring it back to Deadpool. Alex, I realized we totally skipped over you. Being the youngest person in the room, were you alive in 1991?
I was here. That's when my sister was born. I was three.
When did you start reading Deadpool?
I started reading Deadpool in college. I think it was when what was it, 2008 series started is when I picked him up. But the reason I picked it up is because I had been buying Cable and Deadpool, which was that big team up, which I loved.
Isn't Cable like the most serious character, like suffering so much, and he was teamed up with?
That's what made it so good.
That's great.
They had, whenever they teleported, they had to teleport together. It was a good.
It's like the worst buddy cop film.
Yes.
But to see it play out in a comic was great.
Yeah.
Now I want to read this.
It was good.
Yeah, so that's when I started.
Just a couple more questions about the character that I want to talk to you all individually. What are his powers? Is he a mutant?
He's not a mutant. He's technically a mutate, since he is a person.
They did label that, didn't they, at some point? Yeah.
Yeah, he was a guy who was dying of cancer. And so he either donated himself or volunteered or was recruited something into the Weapon X program, where they gave him a healing factor like what Wolverine has.
I think they just copied
it. They just copied it, just gave it to him.
But enhanced it.
Yeah, and it didn't cure his cancer. It just kind of, he's not dead.
Yeah.
So he's horribly scarred.
tumors all over his face. Yeah.
It basically, the way that I read it described was that every cell in his body can regenerate, so it's not that it cured him, it's even the cancerous cells can regenerate. Mm-hmm. So he continues to have cancer, but it can't kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's awful.
Yeah. he's a tortured soul.
Yes, and he's got, and that also might add into how his psyche has fractured. Because
he also can't be influenced by psychic attacks because his brain is constantly renewing its neurons.
Like, when you're brain cells die off normally, his just come back to life.
Yeah. Instantly.
So the second that somebody would attack him psychically, his brain goes, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Never mind. We're brand new all over again.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
So they can't latch onto it.
He's an over-the-top character. He's been decapitated. He's had limbs cut off, shot through the chest, and he just eventually...
He's literally been turned into a pile of ash. And then...
Did he choose the name Deadpool? And what is that? Like,
I have no clue where that came from.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I know in the dumb movie of X-Men Origins, he was given the name Deadpool because they pulled all the dead mutants together and created him. But I don't think that's what it is in the comics.
There's been references in the comics, at least that I think I remember, about Deadpool being the money that people were throwing in amongst other mercenaries to see who was going to, you know, collect on a contract. So multiple guys were kind of betting their wages on who could collect the contract, and that they referred to that as the Deadpool. And I think he was just the guy that always won it.
Isn't that what the Dirty Harry movie's about?
Could be, yeah. I haven't seen Dirty Harry in a while, so.
Well, there's that one, the Deadpool.
So the question, again, another two-part question that I want to ask. This whole breaking the fourth wall thing, is it too much? Does it ever get it? Since the character is so lighthearted or so, for a lack of a better word, insincere, like, is it hard to emotionally, like, get invested in his storylines since it's a comedy almost?
I don't think so. I think the comedy balances out the violence really well for me. Because he, this, like, just the adventures that he goes on and all the people that he has to kill, his white crowd, and just the way that he talks to himself. It's like he has two different personalities, the white thought bubble and the yellow thought bubble. And the way that, it's like having a three-way conversation while he's just killing people. And I think that really makes the humor good.
It's kind of similar to House of Cards.
Mm.
If House of Cards had more Mexican food and some fart jokes. It's not that far off. Where it's just sparingly he'll turn and he'll just address the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And sparingly he won't monologue necessarily. He'll just reference the fact, like, oh, okay, well, you know, the next time we have a team up, we'll do that. And they're like, what are you talking about, a team up? This is not, what? He'll reference stuff. Or mm-hmm. like at the end of one of the final, actually the last issue of his comic book that he just had, a cataclysmic thing happened, and he's like, what? Oh, I thought that was just, that was solely for the Avengers series. I didn't know it leaked into mine. And he just references things like that. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like just offhandedly.
Yeah. I actually think that the whole breaking the fourth wall gives a lot of depth. Because it was very much, did you guys read Animal Man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When Animal Man had that whole thing where he recognized that he was a comic book character and kind of accepted his fate, that he wasn't in control of anything, it was just being written. It's that, but with humor, and it's this aspect of, like, he uses it to his advantage. Like, oh, I'm going to go back and, you know, read a couple of past issues and see where it was that I was at and figure out your backstory. And then
mm-hmm.
there's things that go on like that. There's things that go on that... Is it Deadpool kills the universe? Or
Deadpool,
the Marvel universe?
Deadpool
yeah.
kills the Marvel universe.
There was an entire story done where he's going from universe to universe within the concept of Marvel's multiverse and just killing everyone. And he comes into the quote-unquote real world where the artists and the writers are, and he kills them. And then he ends the book by staring like through the comic and saying, and don't worry, I'll figure out where you're at soon enough. You know, it gives, there's a depth to it that adds to the humor and the violence offsetting each other. Is just being, sure, he can be violent, but he's goofy, so it balances out. But then it just takes it, and it takes it a step further with going, it makes you question his motivation. It makes you question if he cares or doesn't care because he knows it's fiction and he can mm-hmm. get away with it and do it.
And another mm-hmm. thing is, just because he breaks the fourth wall or refers to the fact that he is in a comic book, no one else that he interacts with knows that they're in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of just adds to everyone else thinking that he's nuts.
Huh. Yeah.
Does anybody ever, like, call him out on it, or, like, what
they'll,
the
people
hell?
Get confused.
Yeah, they'll say, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but let's go back to the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. It's not like Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris, where he's going to call a timeout and then just talk to the camera. It's, he just does it in the middle of everything. So everyone else is looking at him going, the fuck is he talking to? What's going on right now? But for him, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
Rob, do you agree with these assessments?
Or
do you
I haven't been reading it since he's been breaking the third wall. The only
fourth.
Fourth. Thank you.
You can break a third.
I blame the cider. The only reference I have to it is the video game where he's doing it in the video game too. So.
So, I asked all of you to kind of come here with perhaps some favorite issues or favorite storylines that you wanted to give a shout out to. And Alex, I will start with you.
All right.
Is there one particular storyline that you feel is perhaps the best, or one that really just spoke to you, or one?
I think the one I think I laughed at the most was when he tried to become a pirate. Because like he had just gotten all this money for killing the wife of some really rich dude who screwed him over, and they had been turned into zombies. I don't know. But he got just a shit ton of money for it, and he went out and bought this really small, shitty boat and made Hydra Bob be a parrot. Like, dressed him up as a parrot.
Hydra Bob is one of the...
one of his little sidekicks.
Yeah,
okay.
Made him dress up as a parrot, and then they just kind of sailed around and tried to be pirates, and I thought that was great. I think one of my favorite moments, though, is there. I was just reading it. Daredevil, Spider-Man, and the Punisher were all teaming up to take out these guys, and Deadpool got punched so hard, his consciousness came out of the comic, and you saw who was reading it, and then it fell back down into the comic. It was really good. It's just one of those moments that you love.
Matt?
I am a huge fan of what they've been doing with them recently. Okay. It's Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn. Is that how you pronounce his name? Comic? He was in
the big Shrek-looking comedian guy.
Yeah, he was in the Sarah Silverman Show. I know. So they are so... I think they're really funny. For many reasons. One, every now and then, they'll have like a... Oh, our writers are on... They took too long, so we pulled up this old episode, this old issue from the vaults. And they'll do an issue that's in the style of one from the 80s.
Mm.
Or a Marvel comic from the 70s. And they totally ape the art, the artistic style perfectly. They'll have like the little pixelated, like as if it's been printed in a printing press.
Nice.
They'll reference stuff that's happening like in the 70s, or sometimes they'll anachronistically be like, oh, it's like Hansen. What? You'll learn about that in 20 years. But they'll play it off as if it's something that happened, you know, in canon, like somewhere in the past. And then that'll ultimately affect what happens in the next few issues. So they'll pretend that there's like a deeper history to him, like he was around before 91. So I love what they're doing with it. And the first, when they actually kicked off this particular series, they started out, he had a friend, or he wasn't, he eventually becomes a friend. There's a necromancer who decides that the country has gone off course. So what they really need are for the founding fathers to come back and help out with running the government. So he ends up bringing the founding, every dead president brings them back to life, but they're zombies. So they wreak havoc. And then Deadpool ends up going back and killing all of the dead presidents. And it's farcical. I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, he goes up like to a space station and Reagan is up there. We're talking about like, oh, Star Wars. I'm going to do Star Wars. And he's like, whatever. And he's like chopping them up and they're gummy bears, jelly beans coming out of him because he was a big jelly bean fanatic. And then like zombie Taft is like coming after him, but he's like, you know, he's stuck in a bathtub.
Yeah.
There's
what?
It gets crazy. But it's silly. It's silly. Yeah. Oh, he's also joined by the ghost of Ben Franklin, who helps him.
I read a random issue. I had no freaking clue what was going on.
Exactly. Ghost of Ben Franklin shows up and he's a horny bastard.
Yep.
And so he kind of helps, and then he's like, okay, and while you're doing that, I'm going to go here where these naked ladies are. Because he's Ben Franklin. He's a big hornball.
There's lots of boobs in Deadpool.
Yeah, and I actually appreciate what these writers are doing, because I think it's a fine line between being clever and just being sophomoric. I think sometimes when it goes too much into the fart jokes and the boob jokes and the chimichangas and stuff like that, it gets just juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they're treating it with just some intelligence that I think is really good. So, Dead Presidents, I think they're fantastic.
For me, the entire Cable and Deadpool run, like I said, I read it like it was just a bad buddy cop film. And it was just... it was enjoyable. I mean, there were moments of it where you're just rolling your eyes. You're like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous. But it was hysterical at the same time. The two of them paired up, and then there's a point where Cable's a baby, and, you know, Deadpool's got to protect them. I mean, there was this way that the characters were linked that, especially for somebody like me, that my first, you know, impressions of Deadpool were from the lingering character in the background of the New Mutants and where he's come to. It was fun. It was just a lot of fun to read. But more than any specific arc, I enjoy Deadpool for the individual moments. Those one-liners that you actually laugh out loud reading a comic book. The things that you wind up, you know, it's like, I gotta put this on Twitter. You know, random stuff that comic book people will go, okay, that's a Deadpool comment. But other people are going, that's funny, but... that's really fucking weird. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why is it chimichanga time? I don't understand. What's going on with that? Those are the things that really stand out to me.
I'm going to piggyback on that. I totally agree. I've never laughed so hard. There was another recent one. One of the flashback issues. Deadpool goes back to... I believe it goes back to kill Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is... everyone keeps going back in time to kill Hitler, so he's prepared for it. He's like, why do all these people keep going back in time to kill me? I don't understand what I did that was so wrong. Because he hasn't done it yet. And so they end up like jumping around time a whole bunch. So that was actually the last one that I think it was kind of a one-off, but it just cracked me up. I read it and reread it and reread it.
And anytime he, Deadpool and Spider-Man are together,
oh, man.
Just, I won't stop laughing. It's the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen in a comic.
Mm-hmm. Also because he kind of has a little bit of, like, a bro crush on Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
oh,
a little, because he's, I mean, he's cool. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's cool. That's and great. Deadpool never gets that credit, so he's kind of like, you're kind of awesome, and, oh,
he always wants to team up with him.
Spider-Man's always climbing up the wall, and Deadpool's, like, on his back, like, look, no hands, you know, he's stuck to him, but he does, it's just, those kind of little things are what just makes Deadpool as a character... What he's evolved into, so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rob, I know you haven't been reading it as recent. Is there an issue or something?
No, I don't have any like
okay
favorite moments or I'm going through here thinking I need to go back and reread all these. I'm gonna probably go home and spend a crap load of money tonight.
to my experts, do you prefer Deadpool by himself or do you prefer him teamed up with other people?
For me, it's a little both.
It's kind of a trick question.
Yeah.
Because even when it's just him, the dialogue in his head is multiple personalities.
And it's hilarious.
So he's never really by himself. He's always going back and forth. As a matter of fact, they revealed the voices in his head to be actual other Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really?
Dr. Dong and Madcap.
So yellow voice. Yeah, Madcap was the crazy guy. And then the white... logical voice was Dr. Bong. The guy that had the giant bell for a head. How they got in his head, I'm still a little confused.
Madcap, I know that one of the times that he got turned into ash... Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, they merged.
They merged because they were both...
have the same
burnt.
Power, basically.
Yeah, they both just regenerate.
But they regenerated into the same person.
Into the same person. Okay. So Madcap was just in his brain.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they separate him by actually physically having...
They cut him in half,
yes.
And then they regrew.
And they split into two people.
Yeah.
This is all really weird.
It's really weird,
but
it's brilliant at the same time. Because it's taking... You know, comic books from what they were in the 50s and the 60s have evolved into a very mature art form in so many ways. And there's so many amazing writers and amazing stories and guys. I mean, obviously, that's why you're making these movies and making billions of dollars. Because there's quality art there, not just in the visual art, but in the writing and the storytelling. And this just turns it on its head, and at the same time is brilliant in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
It really, truly is.
It's like if a book like Batman that's written by Snyder right now, if that's more of like your Nightmare on Elm Street type of like it takes its own genre seriously type of thing, then Deadpool would be kind of like a cabin in the woods.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good. Well, I guess just to jump off that then. And I guess this might be a question in general. If you can relate it to Deadpool, great. Do you ever wish that they would take their cabin in the woods and make it a little more... what was the other one? Three? What was the...
Oh, like I just used Nightmare?
Yeah,
as an example.
Like make it kind of twist the genre, the idea, or do you feel that would betray what the character is? Like, would you want your Batman to not be a little more like Spider-Man, or do you think... These comic books need to stay true to their characters and not really.
I understand. I think they all need different voices. Mm-hmm. I think there's a problem sometimes. There have been certain. I'm a Marvel guy, although I do read Snyder's Batman. I'm primarily a Marvel guy. I think there are a lot of times that the writers do not understand that people have different voices,
mm-hmm.
and so they give everyone the exact same dialogue. Which you can, and actually in some movies you can see that too. You're like, people aren't written differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been a tendency to write everybody, actually to write everybody like Han Solo. Everyone has to be that guy. In comic books, okay. And in comic book movies. Like if you look like Guardians of the Galaxy, like it's pretty much everybody's a Han Solo, and then there's Groot. I think there's a tendency to make everyone to be the wisecracking guy. Everyone's Iron Man. I'm like, everyone's not Iron Man.
If everyone's Han Solo, is Groot Chewie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to make sure you guys
Groot.
Quite possibly the most dynamic performance by Vin Diesel to date.
Truth. Amazing.
Very true.
Then the Iron Giant.
Iron Giant!
That was good.
Does anybody else want to piggyback off that? Does that? No. I mean, you kind of answered my question. Yeah, so, yeah.
I agree. I think there's, you know, especially in the age of very serious comics, and they're not, you know, they're not the funny papers. It's not the Sunday comic strip. There's a lot of serious, and there's a lot of really good storytelling. This is the stuff that goes, okay, step back. We can still be funny and still tell good stories. I mean, that's why Brian Posehn's got a job writing a comic book. I mean, you take a professional stand-up comedian who's been in movies and TV shows, and you bring him in to keep it lighthearted, but at the same time, you're keeping it adult. I mean, there are lots of boobs and fart jokes, but it's not something that a six-year-old is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, a guy in his late teens, 20s, 30s is going to appreciate and really get the adult humor behind it and still, you know, be able to laugh and appreciate it. So it's, I think it's a really good balance, actually.
And it's not all just like, you know, punchline, punchline, punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are a little bit, sometimes some of the jokes are a little bit underhanded, or the punchlines are a little bit like underhanded. They're not like, hey, look, here's a joke. Like sometimes it's in passing, like in the middle of a sentence, he'll just say something that's goofy. Like one time he actually took Spider-Man's web shooters to go like do some stuff while Spider-Man was trapped in some glue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing. So,
it's a big to-do.
Big to-do. Pastepot Pete, who goes by the Trapster now. Pastepot Pete had, like, stuck some people in some glue, because whatever. So he stole the web shooters, and he was, like, going around. And because he vaguely looks like Spider-Man, they're like, Spidey, we love you! And he's like, oh, well, thanks. And then some girl from a window was like, Spider-Man, you're so handsome, what's your sign? And he's like, cancer, I guess? And it just kind of kept going around the rest of it. It was just yeah.
Nice.
Thrown off to the side.
So, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
Wolverine. Which had Deadpool in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. What were your feelings about
Ryan
that?
Reynolds as Wade Wilson was spot on, I thought. I thought he was great as Wade Wilson. The thing at the end of the movie...
He was too serious, I thought. Yeah, well, how do you make a character that's known as the Merc with a Mouth and sew up his mouth?
I know.
How do you do... What?
Yeah. With laser eyes and swords in his arms.
Well, they screwed up Cyclops to begin with, so let's not even...
Yeah, that movie is...
So when he's normal in that movie, we're all pretty
happy. Before he gets turned into the Thing... I thought he was a great choice, and I'm really excited about the new one.
Movie, yeah.
So let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So there's a new movie coming out, played again by Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where did the motion for this project come from? Was it? It wasn't crowdfunded, right? No, that's not a crowdfunded.
No.
I think it all went back to that test footage.
Footage that was quote unquote leaked.
Yeah, but.
It wasn't late.
It was released on Thanos.
Too much production in that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't seen it though, the test footage that was put together, it was all CGI. Ryan Reynolds voiced Deadpool in it. And it's a very adult, graphic take on, you know, an animated Deadpool leaps off a bridge into an SUV, takes out a bunch of guys, but wisecracking all the way, but done in a very... We're not talking... You know, Toy Story CGI, we're talking real life.
Very realistic.
Yeah.
Looking CGI.
Like the first time I watched it, I thought it was live action.
Yeah,
and they leaked. Supposedly it was leaked. I mean,
who is they?
The people behind it.
Since Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool in the Wolverine movie, there was a
tease at the end that there was going to be a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. No one wanted that Deadpool.
No.
But there's been this push for, like, come out and do this and come out and be the guy that we saw in the movie with that attitude and that level of seriousness without having your mouth sewn shut and having no hair and weird tattoos and all that. Come do that in a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, he's been attached to this thing. I mean, to this day, I read Deadpool and I hear Ryan Reynolds in my head.
He even comments on it in the comic book. He says, I look like Ryan Reynolds mixed with a Sharpay.
Yeah, I mean, so it's been there. And the people that were invested in doing this, I don't know if it was their writers or the studio or... I know he voiced it, so he definitely had... They put it together, and they just kind of dropped it out there, and then as soon as it hit, the fan swell behind it was like, yes, this is what we want.
Yeah. So they know
this is the Deadpool we
so
want.
As soon as it was released,
they
it
knew there
was going to
be they knew there was going to be an audience. They knew that it's not
And it is a film. It's not like a Netflix series.
No,
film.
It is a film.
Yes. And it makes sense because honestly, Ryan Reynolds is kind of this character. He is just a wise ass.
I kind
of
so I want to pull the room. Is Ryan Reynolds
this character? Oh, absolutely.
Is there anybody else that you could have seen doing it?
That's tough.
Yeah. Everybody's
that's
head
tough.
Just
everyone
like tilted
like,
back.
It's that level of like.
He's perfect.
The only other people I can think of that are vaguely like wise asses and arrogant in that way. The closest thing I can think of is like Aaron Eckhart, but I wouldn't put him in this character.
I could
maybe
see
Chris Pratt.
I wouldn't.
That's
I could see.
For me.
Maybe like Chris Pine, the same sarcastic guy that we saw that led to him becoming joining Starfleet in Star Trek. Like I'm gonna stand around and I'm gonna talk shit and I don't care because I kick your ass.
I feel like he was still too serious.
Well, because Ryan Reynolds as an actor was the comedic, you know, good looking guy, whatever. That everybody's had in their mind for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like people talking about Nathan Fillion playing Green Lantern. It's just, it's been going around for so long that there really is no other choice to do it unless you do a completely different take on the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with Deadpool, there is no other take. You don't have 1,000 different Green Lanterns to go, we're not going to do that one, we're going to do this one. So we can have a black guy doing it, or we can have a guy with a bowl cut doing it, you know. There is none of that.
Yeah.
So for Deadpool, there's really always only been one guy.
Yeah, even like in terms of sarcasm, I mean, you had people like, what, Neil Patrick Harris?
Does he break, maybe Bradley Cooper?
Maybe Bradley Cooper, but it's just, there's something about like the, you know what it is? It's charisma, but it's charm.
Yeah.
That the dude has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you saw the A-Team movie, Bradley Cooper in that playing face would be a decent Deadpool, but Ryan Reynolds is still gonna top it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's making the film? Is it a Marvel production?
It's Fox.
It's Fox.
So it falls under the X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, duh. They had
Fox owns X-Men and owns the term mutant.
True. Yes. They do.
Or they have
oh,
it.
God,
they,
I,
they
wish I would love him to just randomly pop into one of the Marvel Universe movies.
It would be so good.
Just randomly.
Nothing is off limits now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sony let Marvel use Spider-Man.
So here's my question, and I'm going to do this individually, and I'm going to start with DJ. Three things that you need this movie to do.
They already nailed the first one,
okay.
Which is they are giving him the costume that is basically straight out of the comics.
Oh yeah,
this isn't for as much as I liked the Daredevil costume at the end or Batman in the Nolan movies. This isn't like we're going to do our interpretation of it. I mean, you can literally take what you see in the comics and put it right in front of you on the cinematic screen.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that. The other one, from what I'm hearing about the movie and the ratings, is going to be number two. You can't make this your PG-13 movie. This needs to be an R movie. This needs to be Ryan Reynolds dropping the same kind of fuck bombs and sarcasm that he had when he was playing when he was in Blade.
Mm. Yeah.
But doing that level of violence and that level of grit in this movie. So I think I've got two out of three so far. Number three for me is it's got to be funnier than it is bloody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least equally as funny.
And can we talk about that for a second? Like, you guys have all seen the leaked footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going that route because when the car is flipping and he's just got the drawing, and
yes.
He's pointing at the drawing and then he points at the guy.
It's a decapitation.
Yeah.
I
think it's going to have the level of silliness you need to.
Yeah, Rob, for sure.
Three things you need the movie to do.
The silliness, definitely. That's really all I need. Because he's right. The costume's there. It needs good writing. It's definitely going to have good writing because if it's, again, all Dick and Park jokes, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It has to. It's going to have to have some sort of heart.
Do they know who the? Have they said who the writer is?
I have no clue. I haven't
remember.
even.
I didn't. Have they got a director attached to it yet?
They're already filming.
Oh, they're already filming.
Yeah. No spoilers because I don't know that it's true. But the rumors are there's pictures of him in the costume. It looks like they may be recreating the test footage.
They
in
are,
live action.
They are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I mean, it could be full on what we've all seen, but live action.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex,
I mean,
they
nailed it. That's really all. I really want the breaking of the fourth wall to be natural. I don't want it to be that forceful. I'm just looking at the audience and saying things. It should flow in and out like it does in the comics, where it's just this passing comment to the audience, like in House of Cards or anything like that, and stuff like that. But everything else that they've mentioned, I think that's what I'd love to see. Oh my god.
I love that so much. I think you guys jizzed earlier. I need a sponge to wipe off everything.
We just got shown a picture. There's a picture of Deadpool with dancing with a parasol.
So he's leaping, gun in hand. It appears off of a high point with an umbrella.
And
it says, "With great power comes great irresponsibility." Deadpool coming soon.
That is fantastic.
And that sums up the character perfectly.
Yes.
Matt, three things that you would like this film or that you need from it.
Deadpool needs to break the fourth wall in a casual way. You know what? I just popped in my head. Like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
He's Ferris Bueller, pretty much, but crueler.
Yeah.
With the violence, one big thing for me, okay, because he is over the top, I think it needs to be R because I think there's a tendency recently in comic book movies for them to show
it is R. They have announced that it will be R.
Great, because there needs to be violence, and I think you need to see the over the top sensibility of it. I think there's a sensibility in comic movies right now where they'll have violence and you won't see any repercussions. You won't see blood. You won't see anything after that.
Yeah.
It's a little safe, and I think it's a little disingenuous as much as I'm talking about some guy who got injected with a healing factor. But there's a sense that there's a remove that I don't appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there needs to be the over-the-top violence in a goofy way.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to have that humor.
Like Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, like Shaun of the Dead, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great.
We didn't really talk about this, but is there a main villain of his? Is there a Joker to his Batman? A Lex Luthor to his Superman?
No. Like, it depends on what day of the week it is.
True.
Yeah.
It's an eraser.
He's fought different people.
I think he's fought everyone.
Everybody.
He's literally fought everyone in the Marvel Universe.
One of my favorites was the Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
they're friends now.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're friends. Because the Taskmaster can mimic any move and he can predict any move, but he can't follow Deadpool because he's so unpredictable. And I think that really adds to the relationship because Taskmaster can't beat him.
Yeah.
But Deadpool doesn't want to because it's so much fun fighting him.
Yeah. And there's one time recently where, or the recent series where Taskmaster was hired to like protect something and his heart just wasn't in it. And Deadpool was supposed to go like beat him up. And he's like, can you just not the face. I just can't do this right now, man.
Truthfully,
there was one where they dressed up where Taskmaster was helping Deadpool. And they dressed up as each other and they were saving this woman and they had to like rock, paper, scissors it to see who would go just hang out with this really hot chick, and Deadpool lost and he was really upset about it. And
but
Taskmaster got to
Deadpool's biggest foe, I mean honestly, as the comics have gone on, has been death. Actually being able to die, because that's what he's really wanted. He's able to do anything. He can come back to life. I mean, he can do anything without any repercussions, basically. I mean, he's got all the technology. He's got the weapons. He's got the skills. The one thing he wants to do is die. And there's been, I mean, there's the version of Deadpool that hops from universe to universe killing the other Deadpools.
Yeah.
You know, hoping he'll find a way to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's come down to. Now, whether or not they turn that into the one-off movie, nobody's gonna know, but eventually I think that's where the character goes, is how do I end this misery that I'm in? Because that's the other part about the comic that not everybody really talks about, even though it's kind of a blatant thing, is he can't die, but he kind of wants to. He is miserable, but at the same time his humor is out there protecting him. And
yeah.
And actually, because he can't die and he's kind of untouchable in that way,
mm-hmm.
he and death dated.
Yeah, a little bit. they do that in the video game too. Like he's trying to impress her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that's gone toe to toe with the Hulk. Just kind of be like, I was bored today. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can piss off the Hulk.
Yvonne, we've touched on the silliness and the comedy, but we've also mentioned the violence. Is the comic book exceptionally violent?
It can be.
It can
graphic?
Be.
Is it very graphic?
It can
yeah,
be.
More I mean, so than a lot of their other properties?
Well, I mean, it's graphic, but not like in...
It didn't start off that way.
No, but it's not graphic like how some comic books are, like 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Like anything like that. Preacher. Where it's, yeah, like Preacher, exactly.
Yeah, no, not like
no,
that.
No, no, no. I mean, yeah, you might have someone like disemboweled, but it's like goofy cartoon disembowelment.
And
yeah.
most of the time it's Deadpool that's actually being
true.
Disemboweled.
Yeah, it's him being...
Because the humor is, look, you cut off my head, but I'm still here, yay. Yeah. There's a group of alternate reality Deadpools or other versions of Deadpool. They call themselves the Deadpool Corps. And one of the guys is literally a disembodied head of another version of
it's
Deadpool.
From
what Marvel Zombies?
Yeah.
They cut off his head, and so he has a Headpool. Mm-hmm. Is Deadpool's friend. And they give him a little beanie,
oh
so he
God.
Just flies
a
around.
A little worldly beanie. That's how he navigates around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great.
It's, yeah.
It's perfect.
That's wonderful.
Lady pool. Mm-hmm.
Lady pool.
Kitty
dog
pool.
Kitty pool.
Oh my God.
Kitty pool. There's
Kitty
the
pool.
Little,
it's a kid
the little
version
Western
of
version of him.
Yes.
That was
yeah.
Fun. Yeah.
He has, yeah.
It's so great. I got a question for you guys. I just recently started watching the Spider-Man animated series,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of reminds me of Deadpool, how they'll go into that cartoony, sometimes they'll have like the little cartoony
yeah,
Spider-Man.
I've watched that, it looks weird, but Deadpool has that pool-o-vision, where it's how he sees reality.
Yeah.
And I think, may have pulled from it for this Ultimate
it's
Spider-Man.
It's actually a really good show,
yeah.
I enjoyed the crap out of it, but it's the one thing that I keep going... This kind of reminds me of Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because when I first read Deadpool, it kind of reminded me of
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Worlds collide.
The student has become the teacher.
So I have one final question to take us out. We're over the hour mark here, but is there anything we haven't touched on that you all want to talk about at this time? I'm opening the floor.
His friends?
Let me check my notes.
Yeah, you guys started listing off friends that
Blind,
I didn't know.
Blind Al, Weasel, Hydra Bob, Ghost of Benjamin Franklin, Michael, the Necromancer, he was hanging out with, what's his name? Kid Apocalypse. Evan.
He's got a couple of Gwen Stacy clones floating around all in lingerie mm-hmm. and French maid outfits. I mean,
yeah.
It's...
He actually is the reason that Norman Osborn was able to defeat the Skrulls in the Secret Invasion story arc. He was the one who got all the information, and then Norman Osborn stole it from him, which sent Deadpool on a mission to get Norman Osborn, which was a great... That was a great arc. I enjoyed.
He's married to a queen of the underworld right now named
mm-hmm.
Shikla.
And it's his third time being married.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's been married a couple times.
Yeah, he used to date Death. We brought that up briefly.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of made out with Siren. They didn't really date.
He's hooked up with his friend Outlaw.
Yeah. Now Siren's the supernatural thing. She's better. Oh, okay. Yeah, she's Morrigan. I forget what it is. She's some kind of spirit.
Okay. Got weird.
Yeah, which of his friends? You've thrown out a lot of
Cable,
friends.
Cable, of course. There's yeah.
Oh, man. That's one of the best relationships I think I've read in a comic book. Because they use Deadpool's DNA to fix Cable because of some virus.
The techno virus.
But there was like the facade virus, which turned everyone pink.
Bless you.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was the first story in the Cable and Deadpool. It turned everyone in the world pink, so Nathan could be the savior. But they got... Because their DNA was combined, whenever either of them body slides, which is how Cable teleports, they would get stuck together and have to pull themselves apart. And that was always a funny bit that they kept pulling back.
He dated Copycat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually in the movie.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a bunch of good characters in the.
In Deadpool's the comic book movie. That's interacted with everyone at
yeah.
some level. He takes the best heroes and has fights with them, and then still winds up being like, okay, right, you bye. Just cut my head off. High five.
Yeah. And see you later. And everyone's vaguely annoyed by him because they don't quite get what he's doing.
No. Yeah.
No one knows and what he to
always
do
wants,
with him.
He's kind of like a puppy where he kind of wants, he's like, hey, can I be an Avenger? Can I be an honorary Avenger? Come on, make me an Avenger. And they're like, dude, you were never going to be an Avenger.
Is he the new Impossible Man? I mean,
he pretty much is. That's his station right now. But yeah, let's see, friends. So Blind Al was his hostage / roommate that he had for a while in one of the series, like the first series he had, the one in 97, who was blind. Mm-hmm. She was like a CIA covert ops person, and he caught her or something, and they would have a little tete-a-tete where he would like, because she's blind, so he would do something where he would like set up a knife that she would like hurt herself, but she wouldn't actually do that. She knew what was going on because she knows how the house is laid out. So while he wasn't looking, she would then put laxatives in his coffee or something like that, so she would win. God, we was doing a whole bunch of merc work. He was, there was T-Ray, that was a big enemy of his.
Yeah, he was I think he's merc. In the movie, or maybe, is that he's... Axel something, or something with an A?
I can look that up while you guys are talking.
There you go.
There's Agent X that everybody thought was Deadpool for a while, but it really wasn't.
But now he's fat.
Agent X is fat?
Agent X, because he's the head of the mercenary thing that Wade works for, and he's like huge, he's just ginormous.
Yeah, who's hiring him?
Different people.
Just okay.
People. Different people. I mean, that's one of the funniest things about the first series was, it's like, okay, I don't have some super secret, you know, computer system, or no, there's no dead drops. It's like I'm gonna show up to an office, and there's other people standing around, and it looks like an unemployment office. Like, it's a guy behind a desk with a visor going, okay, I got one. Who wants this one?
Yeah.
You know, 1500. Who wants to kill this guy? It's only 1500. I'll pass. Give it to the new guy. You know, one of those things.
Yeah.
You got Weasel, who, like we said, he's like, if Punisher's got Micro, the guy that builds all his tech and does all that stuff, Weasel is Deadpool's version.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets used and abused. He's routinely being stabbed or shot and left behind, but still sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
Hydra Bob, who's Bob, just like...
Bob,
just,
agent of Hydra.
Bob, agent
one
of Hydra.
The best things ever.
He joined Hydra for the dental plan.
Yeah, he joined it for that. He's not like a hardcore, like, you know, evil Hydra person. He's like, hey, I'm just kind of here.
His wife told him that he needed a solid job, so he joined Hydra.
Morena Baccarin is copycat.
Oh.
Yeah. We've got Gina Carano as Angel Dust.
I love Gina Carano. I do, she's, too. Can kick ass.
I'm hoping she took some acting classes, though. TJ Miller as Weasel.
Huh?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Ed Skrein is Ajax.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the villain.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, that's my it's my drag name.
then it goes into unnamed characters. Guadalajara, my mother, and yeah.
Just to go back to the tech real quick, like you mentioned, swords, guns is what he's always got stacked on him. Is there like a gadget?
His teleport device is probably what he's most popular for, but it's not something you always have.
He doesn't use it anymore. But yeah, swords, guns.
If the cosplay kind of nails it, where it's not just that he's got grenades, but it's got his little logo painted on them.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of goofy things that always go on.
In the Ultimate Universe, which is different, he's very actually different. Just a... I think he's just a human. I don't think he's even a mutate.
Well, he has like a transparent skull?
Something, and that he uses his teleporter a lot. His body slider thing a lot.
But he's not. He's a mercenary, but he's not the Deadpool. Mutants. Yeah, and he hates mutants. He's not funny. He doesn't break
the Ultimate
wall.
Universe, which
it's.
Do you all enjoy that one? Or?
No,
I don't like that Deadpool. I enjoy the Ultimate Universe. Certain parts of the Ultimate Universe, but
does he still look like Deadpool?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're colliding. The two universes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That's what's leading up to this whole Secret Wars thing.
Oh, they're shit. Colliding. So
that's so cool.
They just had like Deadpool issue number 250, which is actually like, I forget, I think it's like number 48.
Because they were counting.
Deadpool issues, this would have been the 250th.
Ah, okay.
And Deadpool dies at the end because, well, the universes collide.
It's also because of marketing, and Marvel doesn't want to market for Fox.
I'm right there with you. Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a few questions here. I want to throw out to all of you. If I've never read Deadpool, where should I start? What would you start me with?
I mean, the...
Wow.
I was going to say, I've only read the original series.
Original series is great.
The original series is good to start with. And then I would say pick up maybe Cable and Deadpool.
I'd say start with the recent one.
Yeah.
I think that one's good.
You can do the Deadpool Kills graphic novels. Those are... It gives you some immediate insight into the character.
Yeah, it's not necessarily tied into the Marvel canon. Okay. So you don't have to worry about a whole bunch of backstory.
Right.
I would probably stay away from when he was in, like, X-Force.
Yeah, that would confuse you.
That would, yeah. It was like the Black Ops, the Wetworks, X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Which was a good series.
Yeah,
but it's, I enjoyed it. But you wouldn't... It's not a good place to get introduced to that character.
Okay. My final question, which is a two-parter that I'll pose to each one of you. Is there anything the series just doesn't get right? Or something about the series that really annoys you? And the second part of this question, if you could write an episode of issue of Deadpool, what would you want to see happen? Like him team up with Batman, him fight someone, you know,
what would you want to see happen
if you could like make that a reality for the comic book?
I'm hung up on part two of the question. I just forgot what part
one was. let's do part one, because this is the easier part. Is there anything the comic book does wrong?
That's right.
I think it depends on the writer. I think how my preference is when there's a nice balance. It's not all just boobs and pizza and chimichangas and farts.
That,
even though that can be a part of him, I don't like it when the humor is all that.
The Merc with the Mouth, Deadpool Merc with the Mouth run, where it's when you're first introduced to Headpool. I found that to be a little meh on the joke side. It was a little more crass, as crass as Deadpool is. It was a little more crass than what I feel Deadpool could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like a lot of the jokes just kind of fell flat, because it was like, oh, come on, you're not even trying. You're not even being clever.
Mm. But there have been times where they've taken the... Look at me, I can break the fourth wall, and look at me, there's multiverse versions of me way too far.
Mm-hmm.
There are some times where you don't need to think about the super grand scale of the Marvel Universe and the fact that it's never-ending. You just kind of want to enjoy the goofiness and the seriousness at the same time of the traditional 616 Marvel Universe Deadpool. You want to focus on that without having to go... Is this really him? Is this a clone version of him? But that's inherent of a lot of Marvel things, too. So
where does that term come from, 616? I came across that several
times. So 616 is of their multiverse. I don't remember where 616 itself came from, but the main universe that have gone to, that's what they designated as the 616 universe.
Okay, so we don't know where it comes from.
So, yeah, unlike DC, where... It was, if you read the Silver Age, it was Earth 1, and Golden Age was Earth 2. They just said, we're going to acknowledge that we've got this huge multiverse, and it's not all numerical. There's alphanumerics, and there's all sorts of things. And they just went, okay, well, the main one that we've been writing about primarily for the last umpteen years, that's 616. 616.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do that a lot. It's one of those little things that you'll catch if you're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in some of the early episodes when they were like S.H.I.E.L.D. 616 when they were on the bus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's a nod to, this is the main universe.
Okay.
Kind of
thing. Even though it's got the Ultimates.
Anything that it does wrong or that's annoying or...
I literally haven't read it in years, so I'm almost an outcast on this thing.
You just became outcast.
And then what we would write an issue about?
So, like, if you could write an issue, or if there's something you've always wanted to see happen, what would that idea be? This is the much harder.
I know right off the bat.
Okay, well, you go first then.
So, as an example, for forever, it was Wolverine, fractured memories, doesn't really know everything about himself, and all of a sudden, he had it all back, and he knew. With Deadpool, I would want the same thing, but with his sanity. Just for, even if it's just for like one issue, just something happens, and all of a sudden, he is clear, and there's no extra voices in his head, and he's got the choice to make of, do I do the right thing, do I do the wrong thing, or do I do the entertaining thing? And just see where that issue goes.
Hmm.
That would be fun.
Sounds like a very drastic departure
for the character, but that's I think why it would be fun is because you've always got the insight into his head, like, I can do this or I can do that, or fuck it, I can go eat burritos or chimichangas or whatever. And to have just that one part where it delves into, I'm not competing with the voices in my head, this is up to me, and I have a moral center, and I'm aware of what it is, how would I do things, that would be interesting.
They've occasionally dived into it.
No, but not just to die. I mean, like a full-on,
yeah,
this is what's going to happen. Like an annual size book, a nice thick one where it's, you know, you got 40 pages dedicated to one story. What are you going to do with it?
I'm not sure what I would write myself. I know something I'd be interested in seeing. Because Deadpool is just a big fanboy of everything, I think it would be interesting to see, like a one-off where he goes to some place that he's a fan of. Like, if he's a big, like, Trekkie, and he suddenly finds himself, like, you know, in Star Trek land.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, crossovers with something completely outside of Marvel.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That could be interesting.
That would be really weird.
Right now, there's one where it's Return of the Living Deadpool.
Mm.
What's going on right now?
Alex?
I don't know. That's a really hard question.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, that's why you're asking why these questions.
It's my jab.
I don't know. I'd like to see this cat. I'd like to see kind of more of his past put into a concrete light. Mm. Like, they have a whole bunch of, because like they give the excuse of, well, no one knows his past because even he doesn't know what's real about his past or not. You know, he remembers things and says that this is what happened, but then in the next issue, he's like, it didn't happen, it was this thing. So I'd like to see a definitive timeline of how Deadpool became Deadpool.
Okay. That is all the questions I've got. Right. So, gentlemen, any final thoughts on Deadpool? We kind of have to slowly wrap up.
He's fantastic. He's great. Everybody, go
read it.
Yes, at least get one issue and just, like, laugh.
Just laugh with it.
That's enjoy it. It's great.
He even does Star Wars jokes.
Leave your comments about who you think voiced him better. If it was Nolan North or Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about the movie because it hasn't come out yet.
Right.
Just voiceover.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, they did.
Multiple games, Deadpool, Nolan North. I mean, because he voices everyone.
And does Nolan North not voice anything? Yeah, God.
He's everywhere. No.
All right. Rob, final.
I want to ask, did anybody else play the game?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
It was okay.
It was pretty repetitive.
It got really repetitive.
You know, the first hour. I mean, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
But I played myself. Hold on. Let me back up there. I found myself playing to see what new jokes would come out of it rather than trying to be a gamer finishing the game.
Yeah.
That's what I.
There were a lot of pancakes involved.
Yeah,
I remember that.
A lot of what?
Pancakes.
Yes, they were.
I just remember that.
All right, well, that is... I got to put a moratorium on our Deadpool discussion for the time being.
This might be the shortest podcast I've ever been on.
Deadpool?
No, I've had much shorter podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, my podcasts have really been drifting in the two-hour territory, and it's kind of happening a little too much. So it's okay to edit something a little bit shorter.
Right.
I'm quite all right with that. Gentlemen, at this time, is there anything else you wish to plug, anything that you're working on? Now is the time to do that.
No, I'm not working on anything. This is Matthew. You guys, I have nothing to plug at all. But occasionally, I'm pithy on Twitter. Please find me at Matthew Amador, MatthewAmador. That's all.
Pithy, that's good.
That's good word.
Thank
good
you.
Word.
I went to a school.
I'm involved with a live radio show. Called Stiff Investigations. You can check it out at stiffradio.com or check it out on iTunes.
Is it safe for work?
It's safe for work. Well, I would listen to it with headphones. It follows the adventures of Jack Stiff, Los Cago PD.
Sorry. Once again, are you sure this is safe for work?
It's safe for work if you listen to it with headphones. But no, it's a great group of people who work on it. The writing's really funny. I think it's a blast. I'm on two episodes of it, so check it out if you get a chance.
I've got nothing to plug. I'm not exciting.
Yes, high five.
Yeah.
Bam.
We three are boring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm exciting.
I've got a few things here to plug. A couple things I would like to plug. I was not too long ago on my friend Mark Soloff's Blastro podcast talking about the science of video games. We didn't actually really talk about the science of video games. We kind of did, but we just talked a lot about video games. That's always fun. I was recently on the 200th episode, I do believe, of Alcohollywood. Oof. And that is a really interesting episode. If I'm saying this correctly, we reenacted a Indiana Jones script that was never produced, and it was really bad. Like, it was a script written after before Last Crusade, after Temple of Doom, and it's the script they passed on. Very great reasons.
I bet it was still better than Crystal Skull.
Is it better than Crystal Skull?
What are you guys talking about?
Never happened.
So that'll be coming out soon, if that hasn't already come out at the time of this. And then recently I was on a podcast over at Public House called The Healing Arts. It is a podcast kind of focused on acting and other artistic endeavors, not necessarily in Chicago, just in life, and kind of how to, you know, keep your sanity as you're doing your art. So that episode will be coming out very soon, so please check that out when it does. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, protests, please email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. We also take topic suggestions, and please rate us on iTunes. It's always good to bump us up in search engines and whatnot. Gentlemen, thank you for coming out.
No, thank you.
Talking
thank
about you. Deadpool. Yeah. I hope we got everything that you wanted. Matt, did we cover everything?
We covered a lot.
Okay.
A lot. Yes. Oh, he's Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's Canadian?
Yeah, except he's not.
Oh, nice.
Except he's not.
He might not be. You were talking earlier about, like, Shaun of the Dead. Is just for someone who watches a lot of TV and film, is that what you would kind of pinpoint his comedy most being similar to? Like you mentioned Spider-Man,
in terms of, you know, the whole genre thing that you were saying, like, if Shaun of the Dead is kind of a parody of zombie movies, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Kind of Deadpool is. It's he's not...
Might be closer to Zombieland.
Yeah, Zombieland.
Actually, now that I think about it, one of the writers of the new Deadpool movie is the writer of Zombieland.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Zombieland's a better example than Shaun.
And when is the movie coming out? Have they said?
Next year?
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so. I didn't know they were shooting it already.
I think next year.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
When does Age of Apocalypse come out?
Next year.
Okay.
So probably 2017.
I do have a random quick plug that is not completely, totally off topic, and it's not anything I'm working on. I just read a good book lately.
Oh.
Oh.
And it's called Ready Player One.
Yes.
Oh.
I read that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of 80s pop culture and video games, read it. You'll enjoy it.
A lot of fun.
Agreed. Yeah.
I'm a fan of 80s video games, so yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out tonight and talking about Deadpool. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and here talking about Deadpool have been
Alex Goodman,
Matthew Wade Wilson Amador,
DJ Fink,
Rob Shumate.
Thank you, and have a good night.